So I would say that with the Holocaust, the elite got a great argument to shut every white man ever rising up against the Jews. They would just put the Holocaust against them. What are you, a Nazi? You're buying the Holocaust, blah, blah, blah. And with 9/11, they got a similar argument to try to quiet every Jew-wise Arab in the world. What are you, a terrorist? Do you support 9/11? Blah, blah, blah.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. Now we're back with a bang. My name is Fredrik Weidland, and with me, as always, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Hello, and how are you doing?
Greetings. I am doing just fine, thanks.
Yeah, good. Very good. Me too. It's soon time for Christmas, which I look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's in the air. At least in my home, it feels like it. Here is some Christmas decorations being put forward and so on.
Yeah, and it's snowy down here. That's quite unusual. Especially the last couple of years. The last couple of years, it's been bad winters down here in the Gothenburg area. But now it's snowy and cold, so it's great.
It's not so much snow here, actually, but it's very, very cold. We have had like between 10 to 15 minus degrees every day now for a couple of weeks. So quite cold, but not much snow. But, you know, it's global warming, everything. That's why.
Yeah, it's November was the coldest November in the past, I don't know, 30 years or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they managed to explain that. But
no, we will talk more about global warming and other stuff later in the episode. So that's why I just hinted it a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, we proceed. I would like to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as you know, or as your listeners know, Sweden is a country that cannot be compared at all with countries such as Germany, Austria, Australia, etc. When it comes to restrictions and the removal of our freedoms. Absurdly enough, the Swedish strategy on herd immunity also seems to have been the best in comparison with other countries. It is absurd because our government, in other cases, is totally incompetent and always obediently follows global homo, which has not really been the case here. You can see that countries that have run hard lockdowns have major problems with the virus spreading now, and Sweden actually has low number in comparison. Now there is a vaccine hysteria also in Sweden, and the requirements for vaccine passes for various indoor events, for example, when it comes to sports. The new restrictions have resulted in large protests in Sweden as well, which of course are completely silenced in the Jewish-owned media, but which nevertheless take place and are spread. The message are spread. And there is every reason to believe that these are growing at the same time as restrictions are increasing. We will talk a little bit about COVID later, but one thing I want to highlight here already now is the problem that we, national people, have with spreading black pills when this topic comes up. The message we are signaling is that the power of the enemy is total. They can do whatever they want, enforce whatever draconian laws they want, and we can do nothing about it. And then we can just as easily give up, surrender to our enemy's might. And I have a completely different approach to it. We know in Sweden that the colossal mass immigration and the genocide of the white race has not led to a revolution. Yes, virtually everyone here in Sweden knows that mass immigration is something really bad, harmful, and dangerous for people. But still, only very few of them have become active in our movement. We know that the leading politicians can piss on us every day when it comes to new laws and policies that destroy our families, our country, and our people in every way, and that it still does not lead to people taking up arms. They should have, but they don't. The system only needs to call one a racist for making them submissive again. So, how's that for a black pill? We are overall growing and getting better in what we do, but it is a slow process and we have a hard time reaching the masses, I would say. What we can see now with the COVID is that people are starting to wake up and protest. The demonstrations I've seen lately are not just goofballs, but rather ordinary people taking a stance against the system. And this is a positive thing, that the system's actions have consequences for them in the form of people starting to protest against them, questioning what they are saying, examining them, being critical and suspicious. So when I look at the system, it's obvious to me that they do not have the control, but that they are losing it. They may not realize it themselves right now, but these protests will continue. And when the COVID situation returns to normal, opposition to the system will be channeled into other areas, hopefully ours. So what we should do instead of constantly whining about new laws is to help where we can and where it is beneficial to our movement to do so. And also highlight the protest and that people actually are resisting the system, even if it currently has nothing to do with our core issues. And when the situation returns to normal, and I do not think this will be forever, we must capitalize on the criticism of the system that we see today and make those demonstrate a part of our movement. So, yes, what do you, Simon Lindberg, think about this black pill spreading from our movement?
Yeah, the black pills are very bad, of course. The black pills are involved in many conspiracy theories, which we also will address later in the show. Also conspiracy theories around COVID-19 and the vaccine and everything. But you're definitely right when it comes to the positive part of your message. I mean, there are ordinary Swedes right now that are getting a routine in standing up against the system, that are getting a routine in getting out on the streets and act. And as you say, it's this routine we must help them to keep after COVID is over. So it's much harder if you never have been on the streets protesting anything. If you just sit at home and watch your TV or what you do, it's much harder to get you up from the sofa than if you're already used to be on the streets, of course.
Yeah, so, that's the Here is thousands of people in Sweden, but in other countries, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, normies that were normies before, just watching TV and doing, be loyal to system, be NPCs, and now they are protesting against the system. That's very good. You must take those people to our movement.
Absolutely. And I also want to add, it's a little bit off topic to what you said, little bit on topic, little bit off topic, but I also just want to give a shout out to all citizens of Australia, Austria, Germany, as you mentioned, maybe Greece, maybe also Denmark, actually, here in the north, where they have made it easier to kick people from their work just because they don't take the COVID vaccine and so on. Don't hide, don't be quiet. Instead, get out there and fight the system. And even if we are not with you physically, at least not in Australia and Austria, maybe more so in Denmark, we definitely stand with you in spirit. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, so but we will close to this is, of course, our stance on the whole COVID situation, and that we do not support everything that the protesters are saying, maybe, or the goofballs, as you said. They are a small part of the demonstrations. They are a small but loud part of the demonstrations, and we do not stand behind everything they say. But yeah.
Yeah.
Again and again and again during this introduction, we save that for later.
Yes, yeah, we do. But we're moving on, and we're going to talk about activism and other stuff regarding what the Nordic Resistance Movement do. So what has happened in the struggle since the last episode, and this is from the beginning of October to now, a week in December. So what has happened in the struggle?
Yes, during the period, somewhere between 150 to 200 activities has been carried out around the Nordic countries. We have seen an increase in public activities during the period. And if we do not count the bigger nationwide campaigns with public activism, like on 1st of May, for example, or during the summer when we were doing the campaign Self-Defense is a Natural Right, then I would say it has been the highest number of public activity since the start of this whole COVID-19 thing. And as I really enjoy public activities, which I have told you many times before here in Leadership Perspective, since I strongly believe that public activism is the best form of activism, then I also think this is a very, very positive development that we are being more and more active on streets and squares again. I really, really enjoy that, to see that. And among these public activities, our activists have been present during a Christmas market in Kristianstad in southern Sweden with a special leaflet stating that the best Christmas present you can give your children is neither a smartphone or a video game, but a promise to take part in the National Socialist cause. We were present at the Stockholm Marathon with a banner stating a healthy mind in a healthy body in a healthy nation, and of course the address to our webpage. And this banner was shown to the 7,000 participants on the marathon, but also to the big audience and also to live television. We were at a fall market in the city of Strängnäs, that is around 100 kilometers west of Stockholm. And here, at this market, at this activity, loads and loads of kids gathered around our guys and also followed our guys wherever they went, which made it look like we were having a big demonstration in Strängnäs, even though we were only a few guys there. In the city of Trollhättan, north of Gothenburg, our guys handed out leaflets outside of shopping malls on the very hectic Black Friday. And in Gävle, a city on the east coast of the middle part of Sweden, we made the headlight of the day when we were at a Christmas event with famous artists and lots and lots and lots of people. And also made some quite good media publicity from that activity. And so on and so on. This was not every public activity that has been done during the month, but some of them. And even though I just mentioned several good activities, we still aren't even anywhere near the best activities that has been conducted during this period. The absolutely most successful activity was actually carried out the day after we recorded our last episode of Leadership Perspective. And since it got massive attention also internationally, many of our listeners have probably heard about it already, if not everyone. However, it wouldn't have been fair to not mention it during this report, since it is really an astonishing activity and definitely one of the best activities, not only during this period, but also during the whole year. I am, of course, talking about the National Socialist Holocaust Laser in the city of Malmö. And if someone don't know or need to be remembered, there was a really big Holocaust Remembrance Conference where the Prime Minister of Sweden was hosting leaders from several countries around the world, and also the president of the mighty Jewish lobby group World Jewish Congress. And an enormous amount of taxpayer money was put into security for this event. Several roads were closed. Public transportation was cancelled all over the city. Welded shut the sewers. There were snipers on the rooftops, military helicopters in the air, and anti-air guns on the ground. And of course, loads and loads of normal cops patrolling everywhere, both on their feet and in cars.
And yeah, and about the snipers on the roof, I know if you're American, listen to this, maybe you're used to it, but I never heard a thing like that in Sweden. In 2001, we had a EU meeting here. We had the mightiest politicians from the European Union and also George Bush here in Sweden, in Gothenburg. And there was no snipers on the roof there. Sure, it was a lot of police, but no snipers. So yeah, it's quite interesting. World leaders in what they say is the world leaders were in Gothenburg 2001, no snipers. But then we have the Jews in Malmö. And it's the military and the helicopters and the snipers and it's insane.
Yeah, and in the middle of this donut-smelling Holocaust feast, activists from the Nordic Resistance Movement, they traveled around the city on bicycle for hours, carrying a laser projector that they used to portray the message, "The Holocaust is a hoax," on several famous buildings. Among these, the synagogue of Malmö, where also a ceremony was being held with all these mighty persons. And our activists didn't get caught, even though they literally projected the laser over the cops' heads. So this was a totally astonishing activity, really, really well done. And I will say that this activity represents everything that the Nordic Resistance Movement is about. It was radical, it was brave, it was revolutionary. And with this action, our activists pulled down the pants on the whole Jew world order. So that was totally amazing. And as said, one of the definitely one of the maybe the best activity during the year.
Yeah, I totally agree. Very good.
Yes, and after this activity, we have actually seen more police harassment throughout the country than we usually do. probably by command from the state, or maybe even by command from the World Jewish Congress. Apart from the cops being more visible than they normally are, and that they have followed some of our members around, this could also be seen in Stockholm, where our members gathered by a statue to give a speech to honor the old Swedish warrior king Gustavus Adolphus. Here, loads of policemen stood at the side and watched during the ceremony. Then, when they were doing a 1 minute silence, only 10 seconds into this, they violently stormed the activists, forcing everyone to show ID and searched everyone. And this is, of course, very deliberate and very provocative, to wait until the 1 minute silence before they started to harass our guys. And also in the small city of Vetlanda, the police acted really badly when they stopped and searched a car on its way to an activity and stole all propaganda material from them and reported them for conspiracy to vandalize. And we are talking about members of a fully legal political party that the Nordic Resistance Movement is in Sweden, and they are getting stopped by the police, they get their car searched, and they get their flyers stolen, and they are being suspected of crime. This is totally insane. And of course, this would have never in any way happened to any other parties in Sweden. In Vetlanda, as I mentioned, there has also been another good activity where our activists carried out a street patrol after it was reported that a 15-year-old Swedish girl was raped by a racial foreigner. Our activists took onto the streets and also talked with several Swedish youngsters in the city. And as no surprise, it showed that they had a lot of support for us. Another really, really good activity during this period, the second best, I would say, actually, was our internal gathering called the Organization Days. Here, activists and members from all over the country of Sweden gathered and listened to several speeches and lectures. They participated in different courses through workshops. They participated in physical activities and also in a tough boxing tournament. And it was a really good feeling of camaraderie and a very good atmosphere during the weekend, very optimistic atmosphere, I would say, and a lot of both motivation and skills passed on to the participants, as well as bloodshed during the boxing. So I would say, all in all, this was a great weekend to be a Nazi. Do you agree?
Yes, the Organization Days was the best Organization Days to now. Very good organized, good activities, many lectures, and I really liked these workshops. I was talking about them in the Swedish version of Leadership Perspective. It was very good, and the boxing contest. So, yeah.
Yes, and then some last things worthy of mention is that the old National Socialist Chancellor of Norway during the Second World War, Vidkun Quisling, he was hailed on his execution day with lots of activism in Norway. And in the Norwegian city of Bergen, there was also another spectacular activity carried out where a full man-sized doll portraying the founder of the Norwegian LGBTQ movement, he was hanged with a rope around his neck from a bridge. A lot of cars stopped and took photos of the hanged doll that also had a rainbow flag as a cloak and with a sign saying pedophile on his chest. And I just must add that on behalf of the Swedish hate speech laws, I must mention that of course, we do not believe that the LGBTQ movement has anything at all to do with pedophiles. This activity was only directed towards this specific individual, of course. Like, anyone wouldn't have understood that. But yeah, I think we can stop there. All in all, a couple of very, very good months for Nordic National Socialism, I would say.
I was thinking about one activity that you just mentioned, but it's the banner activity on the Stockholm Marathon. Mm-hmm. And actually, that is a very good activity, because that event was aired live on TV. And I was checking some statistics about how many viewers they have, and they have several hundred thousands people watching the Stockholm Marathon every year, sometimes a million, and that's quite good. And the media didn't write about this banner activity this time, but well, we have hundreds of thousands of people watching it. And also that we have done this before. We have done this on the Vasaloppet, which is a cross-country ski race in Sweden, very famous. Also hundreds of thousands of people watching it live. Then there we have the Tyrone flag. And then we have done it on a tennis tournament in Båstad, spreading our message, also live. Hundreds of thousands, and that's a tip for your listeners that and both Vasaloppet and Båstad, both the cross country ski race and the tennis, there we have the media writing about it a lot, so we got a lot of media attention there. So that's a tip for your other activists listening to this podcast. Use these live broadcast events to spread your message.
Yeah, it's a very good tip, actually. And I know, because several of you guys keep contacting us. Maybe you have some small movements. Maybe you are in the start of creating a new movement or something. And this could be an extremely good advice on how to get the message spread fast without so much resources. I mean, you only need a couple of guys to stand there with a banner in the audience and make sure to be visible to the camera. And then you get exposed to hundreds of thousands, or maybe several millions of people if we're talking to America or something. So,
yeah, like Patriot Front showing up at the US Open or in tennis or something like that.
Yeah, or during the Super Bowl. That would have been made headlines all over the world, maybe, if you did something good there.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, just do it.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, great activism during this period. Yes, moving on to the ideological, tactical, philosophical question. And in this episode, we will talk a bit about conspiracies, real as well as theoretical. In previous episodes of the Leadership Perspective, we have discussed the two closely related topics, the Jewish issue and the Holocaust. That is two very real and concrete conspiracies that seem very active around us in this now. We have also talked in passing about the Great Replacement and about cultural Marxism, two topics that in the future will have their own episodes of Leadership Perspective, and which are usually dismissed as conspiracy theories by the system. On the outer margins of the national movement, and perhaps especially in the United States, a lot of other more or less probable conspiracy theories are also put forward. The spread of COVID-19 and the world powers' handling of it have given rise to new ones. So I thought a little bit that we should find out where the resistance movement stands in all this, but also talk a little about the subject itself and why it can be positive or negative to present such ideas. When COVID-19 became highly topical again after a period of cooling down during the summer, I thought we could start there. In the Swedish version of Leadership Perspective that was released 2 weeks ago, you read a list where you described the resistance movement's official positions when it comes to corona, restrictions, and vaccine. Can you not read this list also for our international listeners?
Yes, absolutely, I can do that. And I was thinking about if it will be interpreted differently if you live in Australia or in such, but I think that everyone would understand what we mean without changing anything. So I just go through the list and it goes like this. First of all, COVID-19 is not as dangerous as the system would like to claim. One should be very skeptical to getting vaccinated against COVID-19. The ruling elite in the world have not deliberately spread corona to the human population of the world, but they are exploiting the situation in different ways, at least for economic reasons. COVID-19, vaccine, and the restrictions that have been or may be introduced in the future are not core issues for us. Not as important as the race question, use, or the question about Volksgemeinschaft. The Nordic resistance movement does not believe that those in power at the top just want the best for everyone when they impose restrictions and nag about vaccines. The Nordic resistance movement does not believe that the purpose of the vaccine is to kill or seriously injure large parts of the world or the Nordic population. The Nordic resistance movement is not hostile towards men and women who have already gotten vaccinated. The organization also does not believe that the vaccine infects the unvaccinated in any serious negative way. The Nordic resistance movement does not believe that secret data chips or other control bodies are implanted in connection with sampling for COVID-19 or that sampling gives other serious side effects. The Nordic resistance movement is strongly negative to children being allowed to get vaccinated, and that even without parental consent, and that vaccine propaganda is directed at people under 18 years of age. And the Nordic resistance movement is opposed to the idea that those who have been vaccinated for COVID-19 receive significantly greater freedoms and rights in society than those that have not been vaccinated. Yes, this was the list. So in other words, it can be said that we do believe there is some strange things going on around this whole spectacle, but we are at the least, to say, very skeptical towards the most awkward conspiracy theories. There must be room for a balanced middle way, and I think that we represent that good, and that this list is a national socialist take on everything.
Yeah. And yes, there you sorted out some both real conspiracies that we are actively fighting and some more or less crazy conspiracy theories that revolve around this topic. I thought we would continue with some thoughts that have to some extent gained a foothold among nationalists. What do you think of Hollow Earth and Flat Earth?
Yeah, this is, I would say, this is almost as crazy as it can possibly get. I have actually watched some documentaries with, and in one of these, there was prominent flat earthers, I guess some of the real leading figures in this scene. They were given the possibility through economical aid to actually get a chance to prove their theories once and for all. But of course, they failed. Their own scientific experiments proved them wrong. It proved that the Earth is round. And Hollow Earth, it is probably even crazier than Flat Earth. I don't even have any arguments because there is no need for it. I believe that this is just a theory that proves that you can actually get people to believe absolutely everything about anything, really.
Yeah, I actually read some books of Jules Verne. Also his book about the journey to the center of the earth, which describes a hollow earth theory. And it's a good book, but it's fiction. So, but I recommend the Jules Verne. Yeah. Chemtrails.
Yeah, this is also a quite mind-blowingly crazy one, I would say. I mean, if the system was so evil, and if the system had such powers so that they would want to do this and could do this, and without almost anybody reacting to it, then I can also promise you that they wouldn't fuck up so much so that you could see it in any way as trails in the sky. That could have been a real mistake in this whole conspiracy, I would say. They would for sure, if they were this evil and this powerful, they would for sure have used more sophisticated methods doing it.
Yeah, and I think the same goes to the vaccine. If it is a biological warfare, you know, some scientists would find them out. Okay. Yeah. They would test the vaccine and check, well, that's a strange thing in this vaccine.
Mm. And also, since you're mentioning it, it's also quite interesting with people that believes that COVID-19 is being deliberately spread by the world leaders so that they can get the vaccine, so that the vaccine can harm them. I mean, why wouldn't they just in the first round with the COVID, why wouldn't they harm the people already with that one? Why must they wait to do it with the vaccine?
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's a good point. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 9/11.
Yeah, here we have something that definitely is more interesting than the other ones you have mentioned so far. You could definitely see that the so-called facts around 9/11 don't add up. Not at all, actually. And it can also be said that the ruling elite of the world, they have had a lot to gain when it comes to 9/11. We can see, for example, that Israel's former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he has publicly acknowledged that 9/11 was a good thing for Israel as it swung the American public opinion to their benefit. So I would say that with the Holocaust, the elite got a great argument to shut every white man ever rising up against the Jews. They would just put the Holocaust against them. What are you, a Nazi? You're buying the Holocaust, blah, blah, blah. And with 9/11, they got a similar argument to try to quiet every Jew-wise Arab in the world. What are you, a terrorist? Do you support 9/11? Blah, blah, blah. So I definitely do believe there are things very fishy about the official version of 9/11, and there are also thousands of different experts that are backing this up, that there is strange things around this. I believe that 9/11 was more or less an inside job conducted by globalists in benefit for their worldwide agenda. This is my personal opinion, though. And I don't know if it is relevant for the Nordic Resistance Movement to have their own official opinion about anything in this case. But I said, my personal view is that this is a true and very serious conspiracy that gave our enemies a lot of power. Then, of course, you can maybe not everything that is being spread as in the conspiracy theory is true about it. I have very hard time believing in, you know, thousands of crisis actors and such things. That is probably just bullshit. But if you look into technical aspects of the how the buildings went down and stuff like this, you can see that there are some strange things going on. And as a public opinion, the organization at least stands behind that a new, comprehensive and independent investigation should be conducted around the whole case, and that the ones responsible should face consequences for it. I mean, if it shows in this investigation that the official story is the truth, yeah, well, then we know once and for all. But yeah, my personal opinion is that probably it wouldn't show the same result.
Yeah, and now we come to the global warming.
When it comes to global warming, I definitely do believe that there is a huge hype around this. Global warming is exaggerated. You know, when all established media, when all treacherous politicians, when all the New World Order philanthropics are saying the exact same thing, and not only once, but they're nagging about it again and again and again and again in all media, in all entertainment industry, in all culture, then you got to understand that there must be at least something that is not right about this. If all the anti-white powers of the world say the same thing consequent, then something is strange about it.
Yeah, and then you got to have the climate refugees and the whites should not have children because then they will be a burden to the climate and stuff like that.
Mm.
Very usual. And then, yeah, so then you start to question it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And when it comes to the whole global warming concept, I would say it's just like when it comes to racism and Black Lives Matter and gay rights or whatever, that everyone that has some power whatsoever in the world, they compete with each other. Who can be the most politically correct? And as just one small, very, very small example, I just come to think about when it comes to global warming and this whole political correctness thing, is we have a quite famous feminist left-wing politician in Sweden called Gudrun Schyman. And a couple of years ago, when it was a little bit warmer summer than we usually have, it was some kind of warm record, you know, the hottest day for like 30 years or something, then she said to the media that this was a proof of global warming, that we had one day that was this hot. And it's just you know, it's hilarious, actually. And I'm not saying completely, 100% for sure, that there is no such thing as global warming whatsoever. I'm not saying that. I mean, it is a fact that humanity doesn't take good enough care when it comes to our planet, and that this will lead to consequences. But I am saying that there has been climate changes all the time during history, and there definitely is a political agenda behind global warming. And especially as you mentioned on how to solve it. I mean, like you also said, white people should get less babies. And we also have the whole, you know, gasoline and diesel is being much expensier, which leads to that citizens should be pushed away from the countryside and to move into the cities. And right now we have, it has been very much in the media that we should stop producing energy in the Western world. And instead, since there are no alternatives, instead they become dependent on imported energy from non-European countries and so on. So the winners of the whole climate change agenda is clearly the globalists, and the losers are equally clearly the white working class. And just as a little add-on, the best way to solve a potential problem with global warming is, of course, the same way to solve most other environmental problems. And even if it can sound a bit harsh, it's the absolute honest truth that it is by stop feeding the third world and stop trying to get them to live like us in the Western world. Stop mass immigration and let them live on their own terms in their own respective countries without us pouring billions and billions of money on them. Then, I would say, most of the overpopulation will solve itself with time, and with that also many of the global environmental issues.
And it is us who is the minority here in the world. So create abortion policies there.
Yeah.
Handle out the condoms and stuff like that.
The things you're doing in the white world. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And then there, of course, are other solutions to this problem. I'm not saying that this is the only solution with the third world countries, but we will not dig deeper into them right now because this is not an episode about the environment.
No, but we have one before, at least in Swedish, but also in English, I think.
Yes, we have the Green Worldview or something, I think it was called.
Yeah, so check that out if you want to know more. Yeah, but we also have the Freemasons and the Illuminati.
Yeah, when it comes to this, I really believe it is a mixed bag. I mean, Freemasons definitely are for real. They are open about it themselves. However, I believe they had a lot more power 100 years ago than they do nowadays. Back between maybe the 18th and the 20th century, I do believe that Freemasons had a lot of power, at least in certain countries around the world. And also that Jews were very well represented in these secret societies. But today, 2021, I mostly believe it is conservative old men that have fantasies about dressing themselves up and belong to some bourgeois semi-secret men's club or something. In some countries, probably Freemasons still have some powers, but this description of mine at least goes for the Nordic countries, I would say. And when it comes to Illuminati then, I believe that the truth is that Illuminati was one of many Freemason orders, one that probably had some influence, but that, according to my beliefs, has gotten way too much attention. I do not believe that the elite of the world today is organized into a structured organization like Illuminati, but rather that they consist of looser networks. I do not believe that they worship the devils in strange rituals and such things either. I say that the Illuminati, as it is portrayed in the conspiracy theories today, definitely is fake.
Yes, I totally agree. Then you have, of course, the Bilderberg group and stuff like that, but maybe that's not the same thing. And I have to go with Dr. William Pierce here. I don't believe that Jews sitting in a dark cellar having talking codes and stuff like that. But I believe they're sitting openly in the newsrooms making their decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. What do you have to say to those who think we are controlled opposition because we are not behind these theories?
Yeah, what to say? I can start by saying that, of course, there exists such a thing as a controlled opposition, at least if you by that refer to groups that advocates political views that are slightly different than what the globalists are advocating, but still not different enough to be able to actually accomplish any real change in society. Then the media and the politicians, they can constantly go out and say that they are really against this bad movement. And in that way, they are controlled, you can say. The controlled opposition itself gains from this as they will gain much more support if people believe they are the real alternative than the truth, that they are just a little bit different. But still, they won't be fought like a real opposition by the system. They still get quite okay portrayed in the media. They still can keep their bank accounts and they still can reach out on social medias without any censorship, etc., etc. Then you have a controlled opposition, not controlled as like every step of it is calculated and there is a big master plan to lift forward this controlled opposition, but just it is controlled in these ways, as I say, that they are not that radical, but they are still consequently being portrayed as the radical alternative. Sweden Democrats here in Sweden is an extremely good example for this. They are a semi-conservative party, maybe you can say. They are not radical at all. But throughout history, they have been treated like they are racists and even Nazis. And even though they officially fight against this stamp, of course, they like it. Because they get loads of media attention just because of this stamp. And almost everyone in Sweden that actually are racists, they support them instead of real radical and true racist alternatives like us in the Nordic Resistance Movement. And then also, of course, there could be some smaller paid controlled opposition created by security police in order to either dampen or attract radical people willing to commit criminal acts for their beliefs. But this is probably most common in America, though, I would say, and maybe in other countries. Over here in the North, I believe it is more common that they maybe have single infiltrators that joins already existing and from the start genuine organizations than that they create whole organizations themselves. I do also know for a fact that, which could be said be control opposition somehow, that governments around the world pay people to troll on the internet, and that some of these trolls could pretend to be something they aren't. As an example, there could be people saying that they are national socialists at the same time as they are advocating flat earth, and that everyone that do not believe in flat earth is controlled opposition. That could be a government paid troll that sits and writes things like that. But of course, Nordic Resistance Movement are not controlled in any way. If you don't believe it from the repression we face constantly, then I can say that I personally is way too poor to be a controlled opposition paid by the government. Not a single soul that got paid by the state to do that kind of work would live in a small apartment in the suburbs, drive an old car, and almost never get out to eat or go on costly holidays, and still don't have a dime in the savings account at all. So
yeah, where is the shekels?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no control opposition here, definitely. And not always, of course, but I believe that in some cases, and this is very popular in America, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I know we had American guest Mike Enoch in another podcast on Nordisk Radio yesterday, Radio Nordfront, and I know there was a lot of discussion about this, but there is a lot of different people calling out everyone to be controlled opposition in America, and I think that the ones that shouts the most about controlled opposition are probably more likely to be it themselves rather than others, actually.
Yeah. I continued off topic, but I think Mike Enoch had a good position in these talks, that he didn't want to label people like feds or something like that without any real solid proof. Mm. So I think he had a mature position to this, actually.
Mm. Absolutely.
So. Yes, why is it harmful for crazy conspiracy theorists to be spread by representatives of the national cause?
Out of several reasons, actually. First of all, because it damages our credibility. If we say, for example, that the world is hollow, and it is inhabited by Illuminati lizards that release chemicals in the air in order to enslave the people of the world, then 99.99% or even more of the world population, they would believe that we are complete retards. And then when, let's say, we talk about the enormous power that Jews have over media or the banks, then they, of course, also would believe that also this is retard, since we say all these other retard stuff. So that is the main thing, I would say. But secondly, and a little bit connected to the first question, is also because it takes the focus away from the really important questions. I mean, even if we believed in all these crazy theories, it would take away all focus from the question we really believe is important to advocate. The survival of our race is our most important core value. This is what we would like people to associate us with. If we should write, talk, and spread propaganda about 1,000 different other strange questions, then it would be totally random what people would associate us with. No one would understand that race is our core question. And then we wouldn't even be National Socialists anymore. Then it would be just a word we said that we are National Socialists, but we wouldn't mean anything in real life. So therefore, even if we would believe in all these crazy things, it would be a strategical fault to officially advocate them all. And thirdly, as you talked about a little bit, at least in your introduction, and as I mentioned as well, these conspiracy theories are often very, very black-pilling. Because if you believe in all of these conspiracies, it is easy to get the perception that the rulers have absolute power and that it would be totally impossible to resist them. And I think as a standard rule, the more conspiracy theories you believe in, the more defeatist you become, and the less willing you are to take part in the struggle. This, of course, do not go for everyone, but I think it is as a standard rule, you could say. So there you have three perfectly good reasons to answer your question.
Yes. How do you reason when a new theory about the conspiracy emerges, such as now on the corona? How is the attitude or the stance of the resistance movement determined?
First of all, I must say that I am very, very cautious. I do not make any statements at all until I have reached a quite high level of certainty by listening to all sides and conduct as much research as I find necessary to really prove the point. Then after this, I also choose my words very carefully. I can, of course, never guarantee how people will interpret what I say or write, but if they make an accurate quote and really look into the words being used, it should be impossible to misunderstand me. There can be a believe here or a probably there that changed the whole meaning slightly, because I think it's very, very important to not make 100% certain statements about things you're not 100% certain about. But then again, also, of course, things that are really, really batshit crazy, they are, of course, easier to take a stand on than other things that maybe could be true. And also, to add, many, many, many of the conspiracies out there are totally unrelated to our cause and therefore not even interesting to get into and see if there is any truth in them or not.
Okay, so why do you think conspiracy theories are more widespread amongst nationalists than among ordinary people?
I do not believe it is strange at all, because when you understand the truth about what is going on, then it is easy to start believing in other things that is portrayed as the truth as well. When you find out that, for example, a thing like the Holocaust, a story you maybe have believed in your whole life, that you've been taught in school and so on, when you believe that that is a hoax, when you come to the understanding that everyone have lied to you about this, even if it was not deliberately they have lied because they have told you because they believe it themselves, then you also easily can start to think, what else have they lied about? And then you could end up very, very open to other alternative versions of the truth. So, I definitely understand that this is more common among nationalists than among other people. But of course, you need to be aware also as a nationalist, so you don't embrace these crazy ideas. And I think I've stated why on the other questions.
Yes. The conspiracies that we actually acknowledge, such as the Jews have enormous power in the world in relation to how few they are, and that the Holocaust is a scam and so on, are there conspiracy theoretic and more reality-based approaches to these issues among different representatives?
Of course. Because also, when it comes to these questions, you could make quite crazy interpretations that convert the true conspiracy into a false theory. It is easy to go there since the limits are not very clear. And also because even though a lot of the decision-making is in public, also there are things kept hidden in the shadows. And there are details that we could just guess about. More or less qualified guess, but we could just guess. And therefore, there are those who believe that the Jews have absolute power in the world, that the Jews are impossible to resist, but without believing in the other conspiracies, for example. And a quite common belief, I would say, is that there is an actual physical conspiracy organization, like I talk about, for example, with Illuminati before, that there is a gigantic worldwide conspiracy with millions of people involved that knows the truth without revealing it, that all Jews are being thought about this conspiracy at when they reach a certain age, that the elite of the world is truly, truly evil and just want to do evil things because they are evil and without any other reason, etc., etc., and so on. I rather believe that the Jewish culture and religion inspires Jews to be ethnocentric and to help each other out and stand together against others. This in combination with the ancient religious goals of Judaism to conquer the world since they are God's chosen people, and that rich and powerful globalists early on started networking with each other to accommodate things like control of the media, banks, social medias now in modern days, and also how these should be ruled for mutual benefit and so on. That is a different thing than that they are in this one organization, hierarchical organization as well, that have these rules and laws for everyone involved and secret codes and what it can be. And I mean, if you talk about these things I mentioned, if you accompany those things with open political organizations like the World Jewish Congress that actively managed to change hate speech laws to protect the Jews in power in countries all over the world. And if you keep going by that, then by time all of this turn into a self-playing piano that creates the power situation we can see today, that makes it possible. I do not believe that all Jews knows and actively take part in some huge conspiracy. But I do believe that they have a very strong Zionist culture that unites many of them. I do definitely not believe that all politicians and journalists know and actively take part in some huge conspiracy. However, I do believe that there is both a spoken and a non-spoken codex on how to act in order to get a job as a journalist, in order to keep a job as a banker, and in order to climb on the career ladder in the entertainment industry. I also believe that there are very, very, very few people on the earth being evil just for the sake of being evil. Instead, I definitely believe that there are more people that don't care at all about anyone other than themselves, or maybe their kin. But this is totally different thing than just being evil for the cause of being evil. So yeah, there are my stance on these things.
Yeah, and I think it's important because when you're talking about the big secret organization in the dark cellar, you're missing the goal. And this explanation is highly more likely. And we have other people in our movement, like William Pierce, I mentioned, Revilo Oliver, Ken McDonald, doing research in this area and coming up to the same conclusion that they are driven by their culture, their instincts. They are ethnocentric people that doing things to gain their own interests. As a Jew or Jewish people, but it's their instincts that drives them.
Yeah, and then when you already have a lot of power, of course it is easy to create a power culture that gains you or your kin as well. For example, if we just play with the thought, if we theorize that we have 10 enormously powerful, mighty, and rich Jews in the world. I mean, if there then comes non-Jews that get really rich and really powerful and they want to stay that way, they want to be even more rich and powerful, then they, of course, have to adapt to the culture that these other 10 rich, powerful Jews have created. That was very theoretical, but I hope you understand what I'm getting at. So it does not mean necessarily needs to be a secret society where this goyim has to pledge his loyalty to the Jews, but still there is a culture created among these 10 rich Jews. They promote a certain culture, a certain political opinions, and so on. So if this goyim wants to stay rich and famous, he must adapt to that political views and that culture himself.
Yeah. Like Donald Trump.
Yeah, partly. Trump is a very special example, though, because he has done some interesting things later on in his life, but yes.
Yeah. Yes, and finally, if you want to eradicate the theory of Jewish power, perhaps turn it from a truth into a crazy theory, and at the same time make a new National Socialist World Conspiracy flourish, what should you do?
To turn the reality of Jewish power into just being a false theory, of course we must fight the Jews in power, and we must fight their henchmen, and we must fight the full globalist world order, both the Jews and the non-Jews, that are lifting it up, that are making sure that the power continues to stay in this way. And in order to do this properly, there is only one thing to do, and this is something I do believe you listeners know by now. Join, or at least support, your local National Socialist organization. Then we grow from there. Then we fight them organized and together. Then in the end, also, we will win and accomplish all of this.
Yes. And thus we end Leadership Perspective for this time. You can send questions and suggestions on topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread these episodes on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage, nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will be out on the 3rd of February.
Yeah, and I must add to that, since it is 3rd February next time, I must add that I wish all white people all around the world a really happy Yule and a happy new year.
Yeah. Merry Yule.
Bye.
Bye.